Like to invite you over to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12.
2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12 reads this way. It says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people and being reminded, Lord, once again that you are in our midst. And so we thank you for your presence. We ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide the service in our hearts and minds, that you might be uplifted and glorified, and Lord, our lives empowered, that we might hear from you and be the witnesses of the great grace that you've given to us. Bless your word and your people tonight, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is, "I Will Not Be Negligent." I will not be negligent. That was what Peter was saying, and he had some specific things in mind that he wanted to share with the believers, and he wanted to remind the believers concerning some truths that are doctrinal truths, that are spiritual truths for the believer before he left this life. He said, this is so important. You're aware of them. I want to remind you of them because this is where the difference is made in the life of the believer and for the honor and glory of the Lord. Peter understood both sides of the fence, didn't he? He understood what it meant to love the Lord and not really have the power of God or understand the power of God completely. He was kind of in and out as the Lord was here during his earthly ministry. And then he understood in a different light the power of God in his life. And so he's wanting to convey that to all of his people and especially here tonight for Northwood Baptist Church. And so we want to look at two thoughts. And that is, first of all, what Peter wanted to accomplish. And then secondly, what Peter wanted believers to remember. And we'll see that here in just in a moment. But let's look at what Peter wanted to accomplish. And that is, of course, that he wanted believers to be established in the Lord's truth, in this present truth that he was talking about. He didn't want them to be movable. He didn't want them to be blown around by everything that was coming under the sun. And by the way, listen, the internet is a nuisance. It can be a nuisance in this regard, all right? Don't believe everything that you hear, right? People say, well, I heard it on the internet. So, that's everybody and anybody. And there are all kinds of people out there saying, I've received a vision from the Lord. And you just pass by those things because you got the best revelation you're ever going to get. And that's in the Word of God. And you can be sure of that. But all these people have been saying, I've seen these people, their little thumbnails, and they've been saying, I got another message, and I got a message, and I got another message. I think maybe they're eating pizza late at night. I don't know, but they're getting these messages that they're trying to create a following, but the best message is in the Word of God, all right? And so and the reason why I say that, well, Brother George, could they be getting a message from the Lord? I don't think so. I really don't think so. And the reason why is because they're saying the Lord, this is what the Lord's going to do, and it doesn't happen. This is what's coming. This is what's coming. Well, listen, the Bible is not a fortune telling book. It is a confirmation of the Word of God. So if somebody shows you from the Scriptures, this is what's come to pass. In other words, when the Bible predicted the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can take you to the Scripture and say, guess what? He was born in Bethlehem, just like the Bible said. He was born of a virgin, just like the Bible said. He was going to die for our sins, just like the Bible said. So all these things are biblical facts, and we can look to them. And as far as I can tell, there's a lot of craziness that's going out there in the secular world, but also amongst so-called religious people. And here's what's kind of troubling is some of these people don't have a very good reputation that are getting these dreams. And some people, they're saying this is of the Lord, and you listen to them and how they talk, and they have foul language. That's a pretty good indicator. There's something wrong there. There's something that's not right. but you can count on the Word of God. And so Peter is wanting us to understand some important truths. And so look at verse 12 again. He says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." So he wants the believer to be rock solid. He says, "Yeah, I think it meet. I think it's a help as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." So this is what Peter wanted to accomplish, and that was that they would be established in the truth. Well, let's back up and let's look at verse 1, and this is exactly what Peter wanted believers to remember. And that is, first of all, God's divine power has given the believer some things that we'll take a look at, and also God's divine nature has done some specific things for the believer. And this is what's really important, and that is what God is doing and has done for the believer. This is the important thing. Listen, if you want to receive a blessing from the Lord, He has to do something from you. Isn't a blessing a good thing? And if it's from the Lord, that means He's done it for us, right? So we get so wrapped up in this idea, this is what I'm going to do for the Lord. I want to remind you, the Pharisees thought they were doing a lot of, I'm not calling us Pharisees, okay? But the Pharisees were wrapped up in doing a lot of things for the Lord. We do this, we don't do that. We do this, we don't do that. What they weren't getting is anything from God, all right? And we don't want to be in that same place, because that's the good thing. God wants to do a work in your life and mine. In fact, He died to give us His life, did He not? And so He died to give us redemption. He rose again that He might live His life in and through our life. And you'll find that in the Scriptures. But let's back up here and let's look at what God's divine power has given the believer. Look at verse 1. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ." Listen to this. "To them who have obtained," they didn't attain it, they obtained it. And here it is, "like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." You and I have obtained the same precious faith that the apostles received and anybody who's ever been saved has received. We have been given the same salvation. Isn't that wonderful? The same faith, the same trust. God opened up our eyes to understand that we needed to put our trust or our faith in Him. And He is the faithful one, right? So we want to be reminded of that, that God is the faithful one, and that is the trust or the faith that we have received together in the Lord. And then I want you to take notice that God has given to us also, by His divine power, grace and peace that can be multiplied. Look at verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied." That's the will. It's automatic in the hands of God, but the believer must realize that, listen, God wants to multiply the peace and the grace that He's given unto us. That's important to be aware of. If somebody said, "Hey, listen, I want you to put $10,000 in this account here, in this bank account, and we're going to multiply it, and when you're said and done, at the end of a year, you're going to have $20,000. Would you be interested in 1 year? $20,000, double your money in, how about this, triple your money in 1 year. Wouldn't that be a nice, fine, how do you do? Well, it's important, because if you get to the end of the year and it's not been multiplied, you don't say anything, you don't complain, you leave it in for another 3 years, right? No, you say, "Something is the matter. You told me it was going to be multiplied. Well, look, it's not being multiplied." So let me ask you a question. If the grace of God and the peace of God is not being multiplied in your life, do you think maybe you should ask God if there's a problem? Because I will guarantee you this, the problem is not on the Lord. The problem may be, and I will just say it is, on our understanding. But if we bring it before the Lord, He says, "Well, look, just like Moses, when he turned aside, when he saw the fiery bush, that got his attention. If God is saying that I'm going to multiply the grace and peace that I've given to you already and it's not happening, we ought to turn aside a little bit," because I would dare say we would turn aside and talk to the banker if he promised a three-time return and it didn't happen. More importantly are the things of God, because they're eternal. And so, Lord, I need to understand, You promised a multiplication of Your grace and peace, and I really don't see it. So show me what I'm missing. What am I misunderstanding? Let me ask you this question. Every truth that the Lord ever told Peter, was it true? It was true. But every truth during the Lord's earthly ministry that the Lord ever told Peter, did Peter always understand it completely? No, he didn't. But so the problem wasn't with what the Lord was saying. The problem was with Peter's understanding. And you and I also, being humans, we misunderstand the Lord. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong. God knows we misunderstand him, but we must exercise faith. When we look at the Word of God and we take inventory and we see something missing, we need to say, Lord, I see what your Word is saying. We can't just merrily go along through life because we will miss the relationship, that interaction with the Lord that where he can make the difference in our life. So he says, listen, I want you to understand that God has given his divine power into your life and mine, giving us the same faith, but then also multiplying the grace and peace that he's given to us. Notice also what the divine power has given to the believer here in verse 3. It says, according to his divine power. See, I didn't make that up, in case you wondered. It's his divine power, right? His divine power, he says, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That life he's talking about is the life of Christ. That godliness that he's talking about is God's godliness. We don't have our own godliness. We don't have a righteousness. We don't have that. God wants to give it to us. And by the way, according as his divine power, right? Who's the his? That's God's. So God's divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So when we consider this, God's divine power has given us everything needed that pertains to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you say that when the Lord was on this earth, he really lived a life to be lived? He understood what life was all about. And he lived it with godliness, didn't he? And he was in the flesh. He submitted himself before the Father. And he had always been, it's kind of hard to explain. He was the God-man here on earth, but he was in flesh and blood like never before and experienced everything that we did. And he didn't come down here in supernatural power. He came here completely dependent upon and reliant. That's why he said, I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it. But listen, in heaven, he is co-equal in eternity past, and now, presently, he was co-equal with God. But when he came down here to earth, he submitted himself under the authority of God the Father, because he's our example, and so we need to make sure that we are submitting ourselves as well unto the Lord's authority. So let's take a look at what God's divine nature has given to us here in verse 4. He says, whereby are given unto us, verse 4, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Am I making that up? God says he wants us to be partakers of the divine nature. That doesn't mean that we have divine nature. That means that we yield ourselves to the Lord and he performs his divine nature. We have no divinity at all in ourselves. But because you are, as a saved child of God, indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you have God inside of you, do you not? And that's the life that God wants to release in your life so that, listen, when Jesus dealt with people concerning eternal life, they were touching the Spirit of God. The same potential is in our lives today. I don't think we understand it. Not us, but if we're yielded to the Lord and we're experiencing the blessings of God, what are the blessings of God? Him performing the promises that he's told us. So listen, if we tune into that, then when we share the gospel message, because we're watching the Lord work in our lives in such a way to where we're experiencing the new life of Christ in us that He's indwelt us with, now there's a different thing taking place, and that is the freedom of the Spirit to move in our lives, because we are inviting God to do that in us. There's a big difference there. You can be a saved child of God as Peter was, and he was limited because he resisted. He resisted the Lord. You're not going to go to the cross, right? Hey, Lord, you know, I mean, the disciples, you want us to call fire from heaven down on them because they were not receiving the Lord? And the Lord said, you know not what spirit you're of. The woman at the well. And the Lord told the disciples, I've got meat to eat that you know not of. And they said, who gave them food? They missed the Lord completely. But do you think after the resurrection, and do you believe after the empowering of the church, do you think they understood better? We're still fallible human beings, but I'm telling you what the Lord is saying. He has promised us something more than just an existence and heaven, okay? He's promised us blessings on this side of eternity. Listen, for the glory of God and our blessing in our own lives. So notice here, he says, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding. You remember exceeding? That's over and above when it's exceeding, right? The best analogy I have is if you're driving on the highway and you're exceeding the speed limit, you'll find out soon enough, won't you? Amen? You don't want to do that. But anyway, it's over and above. Whereby are given unto us, and they're given unto us. You don't earn them. You don't work for them. They're given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, what? These exceeding great and precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. See, what Peter was doing is, because he loved the Lord, he was trying to do for the Lord. And no, you got to do it by these promises, these exceeding great and precious promises that God has given, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. And what is that about? Well, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, he says, add to your faith. This is as long as these we have received and we believe and putting our faith and trust in these gifts, these great and precious promises that have been given to us. Then we can understand verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. That means you control your disposition in life, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, love. If you do that without what God has given to you, you and I are never going to make it. We're never going to make it. In fact, we'll give up on it because we can't do it. That's the truth. But if God's doing it, that's a power, you know, that's like, wow, where'd that come from? That's the Lord working in the life of the believer. And so, listen, this is what revelation is all about. God reveals a truth to us and we go, oh, I didn't understand it like that before. So now I've got an opportunity. I can just continue on. Right? I can inventory my life. And God said, I'm going to multiply all these things in your life. And if I don't see them, I can stop and I can say, Lord, I don't see them. I need you to help me understand. And so tonight the Lord says, these are things that I've given to you. And so if you're not experiencing them, you need to call on me and then I'll show you. Isn't that what he said? Call on me. Amen. We're to pray, and then when we call on him for answers, he says, I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And so, very quickly here, and we'll finish up. He says, verse 8, for if these things be in you, this is the word of God, is it not? For if these things, if is a contingency, isn't it? If a doctor gives you a prescription because you're sick, and the doctor says, well, if you take this medicine, it will help you feel better. But the contingency is taking the medicine. If you don't take the medicine, then you don't get better, right? Or it may take a lot longer. So, for if these things be in you and abound, and if not, you need to do business with God. I can't tell you what you have to do, but God can. God can tell you, God can give you the understanding that you need. I can't give it to you. I can just tell you God has it. Amen? And that's a good thing. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you. You don't make yourself. They make you. What makes you? The things that God has prepared, planned, and given to you and I as believers. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you need the revelation, you need the guidance of God in this, or we become Pharisees. Pharisees had a lot of knowledge, didn't they? But no power. There's no power. Because God was missing. God was the void in their life, not the knowledge of the Word of God. And in fact, they miss God completely. And we will too. Even as saved children, we can miss the Lord. Peter did, the disciples did at various times. But God's working with us, right? And that's the good thing as a saved child of God. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things, if you lack these, is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And so we just are left in our own minds to wallow in the mire. And God says, that's not what I saved you for. I saved you to be a royal priesthood, to make you. God wants to make us a royal priesthood. God wants to bless our lives so that when God sanctifies us, sets us apart, and we experience this in our lives, we're praising God because we know we can't do it. So if you've missed out or believe that you failed in these areas, you're in a really good place. Do you think Peter had a better understanding when the power of God was on him? He was the one that said, hey, men of Israel, why are you looking at me as if by our own power we've made this man whole? He knew something he didn't remember before. He said, Lord, though all forsake you, I won't. That's what we do. And then when God gets a hold of us, hey, we didn't do this. Amen. Jesus Christ did it. So he says, verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Why is that so guaranteed? Do you see that as a guarantee? Because God will be working in our lives. You and I, because of the grace of God that's been given to us, have the opportunity for God to make sure we have a royal entrance because he is a royal Savior. And he has given to us his Spirit that will perform these things. So tonight, God wants to remind us, Peter was saying, before I leave, I don't want to be negligent of this. But Peter, and he said, though you know him, yeah, you know these things, I want to remind you of them. Why? Because that is the power and purpose of God in the life of you and I, the believer. Otherwise, if we miss that, I'm not saying you lose your salvation because you can't. Amen. If you're saved, you're saved. There's no change in that. Praise God for that. But we don't want to miss the Lord on this side and the blessings of God on this side that we might have a wonderful entrance into eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your message. We thank you for your grace and, Lord, your peace and your many blessings that you've given to us in salvation. May you open up our hearts and minds to understand that this is your work that you desire to do in our lives. May we call upon you and ask you, Lord, to guide us into these truths, Lord, that we might have possession, Lord, and that you might open our understanding and give us a revelation of what you've already done and given to us as your children. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.